Thank you, Bell Choir. They did bless us already earlier this morning, and again in the second service. It is fifth Sunday in Lent, and we are learning to pray with Martha and Mary. And this theme comes right from the Gospel reading. So we had another longer reading this morning, as always during season of Lent. Lectionary readings, especially gospel readings, are fairly long, but I don't think we want to complain that the Bible readings are long. I think we ought to hear and listen to the Word of God is anything we want to listen these days. So hearing our reading, the sisters sent a message to Jesus. And the message was very short. It says, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." And that was it. But then the Bible says that when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Obviously, Jesus knew that Lazarus was not just having headache or sinuses as we do here in Kentucky. By the way, I never had sinuses before coming to Kentucky. Allergies. I didn't know what they are. Now I do know what they are, as most of us. So these verses are recording one of the great moments in Jesus' earthly ministry. And the moment was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And this story, when you think about it, when you read, when you listen to the narrative, can be looked at in many different ways. And believe me or not, I have preached on it a few times before, but not this same sermon. This is new approach I'm about to make. I want to approach this story with an eye toward what it can teach us about prayer and desperate prayers, because I believe that there is a lot of we can learn from this story about life of prayer, about our prayer life. Very simple definition of prayer is that it is talking to Jesus. It is talking to Jesus. When did you talk to Jesus last time? Was it this morning? Was it yesterday? Maybe you are talking to Jesus right now. And if that is the case, then those who talk with Jesus, as we see Mary and Martha in the gospel, can teach us about prayer. We are to listen to them. How did they do it? And the way that Jesus talks with them teaches us even more what prayer is all about. So let's try to see what is in this story, in this narrative, in this practical focus in mind that we try to see what prayer is, and especially what desperate prayer is all about. I wish we had a little bit more time, just 90 minutes for this sermon. You are listening, I can see it. You are listening. But we try to catch up something from this wonderful narrative. First prayer that we are facing here, dealing here, from these two sisters, Martha and Mary, is just the kind of, in one short verse, Lord, he whom you love is ill. The one who is dear to you is ill, is the other translation, and that's my translation. I use that, keep on coming to me. This is the first prayer moment in this story, and it's from sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, who sent this message, this notice, such a short notice, through somebody to Jesus. Lord, the whom you love is ill. Now think about that is a prayer. What a prayer it is. It is an interesting prayer, by the way. It is a pretty obvious that Mary and Martha are hoping that Jesus will heal their brother, Lazarus. But their prayer leaves room for Jesus. Can you see it? Their prayer leaves room for Jesus to address their concern in whatever way Jesus preferred to answer to it. Whatever way Jesus preferred to answer it. It is a prayer that simply invites Jesus into what is happening in their lives. That's the heart of prayer. What else we can do? Jesus, this is what's going on. Somebody who is so dear to you, our brother Lazarus, you spend time in our house all the time. You've been having supper with us. We've been talking, we've been praying, we've been laughing, we've been singing, whatever we've been doing, you know us so well. Somebody who is so dear to you is ill. And they don't have to put the word seriously ill, because obviously Jesus knows something very, very concerning is happening. It reminds me of a similar prayer, actually, very similar prayer in the Gospel of John, same Gospel. By the way, my favorite Gospel. But I didn't choose these lectionary readings from the Gospel of John. I would be reading John all the time here every Sunday morning. You get tired of that, of course. But when Jesus was at the wedding at Cana of Galilee with his mother Mary, remember when the host family ran out of wine. That was an embarrassing thing in that context, in that tradition, in that culture. Very embarrassing thing. So Mary found Jesus and simply told her son, they have no wine. They have no wine. Obviously, Jesus knew what my mom means by saying that. I got to do something about it. Again, a statement with an obvious intent or request, but one that leaves room for Jesus to respond in many different ways, the way he prefers to answer to that prayer. Jesus, they are running out of wine. Actually, they don't have no wine. Look at the audience. Look at the wedding party. This is an embarrassing thing about to be. So Mary simply let Jesus know what the need was, excuse me, and trusted him for Jesus to figure it out how he's going to answer that prayer. And we can learn from that all the time as we listen to this story. So what is happening in your life that you want Jesus to be more, to get more involved? What is going on in your life? Friends who are worshiping with us at home or traveling, where is it that you want Jesus to get involved in your life? What is it? Let him just simply know about it. How can you begin a conversation with him that makes clear your need? But then you leave Jesus room to answer the way he wants to respond to you. Sometimes when we pray, we are tempted to take God's place. Can't take God's place. Because we are human beings. We can take the place of Creator. One attitude we remember when we pray is humbleness. Admitting that God is God and I'm human being. I am dependent on Him. He is not dependent on me. I'm the one who is asking. And He's the one who is providing. Secondly, there's a word that comes from the gospel, thought Jesus loved. It's a short statement. Thought Jesus loved. So we have reason to ask, how did Jesus, who loved them, answer to their prayers? How did he answer their prayers? So the second moment in the story that teaches us about prayer is found in how Jesus initially responded to their request. It goes this way, thought Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, the story tells us. He stayed 2 days longer where he was. Now, wait a minute. First, we hear it don't make much sense. So, Jesus, you get this message from us. Somebody who is so dear to you is ill, seriously ill. You don't respond immediately, but you end up staying two more days before responding to us. As a matter of fact, what happened, Jesus let Lazarus die. He let Lazarus die, knowing that he would raise him up and reveal God's glory. What else we understand from this story? In other words, Jesus intentionally delayed answering their request because he had a plan that Mary, Martha, and obviously Lazarus could not have imagined about. So, my question to us this morning, has God ever delayed answering a prayer of yours? I can almost hear some of you saying, you are thinking so hard, loud. You are thinking so loud, preacher, many times. As a matter of fact, that's where I'm at right now. Lazarus' illness and death is going to be used for God's glory. Jesus tells those around him, this is going to be for God's glory. And that is why he's delaying going to see Lazarus, for that reason. When God is delaying answering a prayer to you and to me, it is worth thinking about how God might be using that delay for higher purpose than we can imagine. That is what makes our prayer life so much problematic, struggling. We don't understand. Our needs are important to God, yes, because he loves you. He loves us. He cares for us. But his thoughts and his purposes for us can be way higher than we can see and we can understand. God's best is not exactly our best all time. And then thirdly and lastly, but not leastly, there's a prayer that comes from the gospel. It is this, Lord, if you had been here, if you had been here, Martha's prayer with great confidence and trust. And I explain why. I wish, Jesus, you had been here. What a pity. You were not here. In our gospel narrative, Jesus eventually arrives on the scene. Of course he did. But it is after Lazarus' death. After his dear friend died. And Martha went and met Jesus, according to our reading, and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Makes sense. It wasn't actually a complaint, it was just a statement that I wish this didn't happen. It won't happen if you were here. But even now, she continues, even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. That's a great addition. It is actually a game changer in her prayer. First part of this prayer is kind of statement. You see what happened? You were not here. But I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Isn't this incredible prayer? I think it is. If you want to learn something about prayer, this is your learning point right here. It is the third thing we can learn from this story about prayer. Martha's prayer teaches us the importance of faith and of persistence in your prayer. Persist in your prayer. Now, Martha could have easily given up on this prayer when his brother died. Yeah, that's it. Let's move on. By the way, in that culture at that time, and it's reality in many other cultures, Eastern cultures today, now, please understand, Lazarus was the only provider of that family. You can't say that these two sisters didn't do nothing because obviously Martha was a very hard worker. I hate to put it this way, Mary was probably more leaning toward like a dreamer. And Lazarus was working day and night in the field providing. And in that culture, if man died, you can put for sale sign at the door right after. That was it. So it was not just an unfortunate thing, it was a terrible thing that the provider of the family died. Martha didn't give up. She was persistent in prayer. And by doing so, she teaches us never to give up on God, never to give up on prayer, never to give up on God, never to give up on Jesus. Sometimes our prayers will not be answered in the miraculous way. This is true. If you listen to somebody who preaches on TV and says that, you know, we are catching tens of miracles today, and if you are disappointed, don't come back because there's one big miracle all the time. I don't know what he uses, but that's not Bible. That's not what Bible says. No, it's not. This is not just a one run from miracle to another. This is sometimes pretty much rough walk and journey. But Christ is with us. Christ is with us. Our world is filled with sadness and brokenness and death. If you don't see it, if you don't now know it, if you don't agree it, I don't know where you have kept your head. And until Jesus returns in glory, that will be the case. You may say that's bad news. No, it's reality. But that brings us to the next moment in the story, before we're closing, that can teach us about prayer. It is when Jesus arrives at the tomb of his dear friend Lazarus. Bible says he's greatly disturbed in the spirit and deeply moved. Jesus' heart was broken. And we learn that Jesus begins to cry, to weep. Wait a minute. God is crying for human death. How can that be? You know, somebody got to be strong here. Jesus, you shouldn't be crying. Just do your simsalabim thing and we are back to square number one. No. Because he's God. He feels our pulse, our heartbeat. Have you ever imagined Jesus weeping with you when you are weeping in prayer? When you are crying for something? If you haven't, please try it next time, because he is. Believe me or not, he does. When we weep, Jesus weeps with us. And that is who God is. I believe that breaks his heart to see the pain and suffering and sadness in our hearts, in our world, maybe in your life today. It is why he came. And it is why he gave up his heavenly glory and lived among us. Bible says his name is Emmanuel, God with us. When God is with us, God is all the time and every single moment in our life. And that is why he died for us. He went through all this to recognize for us the resurrection and the life, and that he is the one, the resurrection and the life. He got to go through where we are. He went through all this so that even when we die, we will live. He went through all this so that one day he could return in glory to put on an end to all suffering and pain and tears, and so that one day he could wipe every tear from our eyes and live among us forever, or with him forever. Now, the last scene here in the front of the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus spoke to the dead, Lazarus, with divine authority, of course. Before he did that, he spoke to his heavenly Father, and John has recorded that one. John tells us, and Jesus said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me." And then he said, "I know you always hear me." Of course he did. "Father, listen to his son." And he thanks his father, and then he turned to speak to the dead Lazarus. And the way John described it, there is power, there is authority, there is all what is needed to wake somebody up from the dead. And guess what? You don't have that power, I don't have that power, only Christ has that power. And John says, he cried out, he shouted loud after the stone was removed from the entrance of that tomb. And he said, Lazarus, come out! Come out! And the Bible said a dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told him, untied him, and let him go. Can you see the scene? Can you witness what the audience was looking at? Somebody has been speechless. I bet Martha and Mary just crying. There he is, coming back to life. Some folks watching with their mouth opening. What is happening here? I can't believe it. Namely, in Jewish faith, somebody who has been dead over 3 days is beyond help. 3 days is max. Something can happen to somebody who is in grave, who is in tomb for 3 days. But 4 days is too much. Beyond repair. And Jesus wanted to show his authority. Whatever you say in your tradition, this is more than that. I'm going to wake him up by the word. And Lazarus obeyed when Christ called him up. He obeyed and he walked out. That was quite a view to see. And there he was, back to life. Now, there's so much more we can say about it, but something for us to take home. The thing is that your prayers, your conversations, your talks with Jesus can lead and always lead to powerful miracles and changes and transformation. They always do. In your personal life or in somebody's life you are praying for. And this example from Martha and Mary tells us that Jesus is never late helping us. He may be delayed according to what you see it, and we see it, but Jesus is never late. He's always in time for those who loved him, who followed him. And I would like to encourage you, ask something. How many of you have been praying for something you believe quite some time and you haven't heard, you haven't seen the answer yet? Let me see your hand. You've been praying for quite some time. Okay, and take your hands down. How many of you have been praying the way you see it, way too long time without seeing an answer? Let me see your hand. Nobody. Not the one hand up. Remember, Jesus is never late answering to you. He's never late. And he always answers, bringing glory to his heavenly Father. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. If the ushers can come forward at this time, we continue our prayer time by the ministry of giving, or worship time, actually.